Turn, when they please, to the book of Psalms in chapter 51 this evening. Another psalm of David. And we begin reading in verse 1 in this psalm. This is a psalm when Nathan the prophet had came to him after his sin. And it appears that David had spent about a year. Read about this in 2 Samuel 11, 2 Samuel 12. And we've already covered two psalms, I believe it's chapter 32 and chapter 38, that deals with a similar story. But we find here, as we began in verse 1, Psalm chapter 51, he says in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy mercies, thy tender mercies, rather, and blot out my transgressions." He says here in verse 2, he said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is even before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Now, Father, we thank you for the Word of God this evening. We thank you for the time and the privilege that you've given us to assemble together here this evening. God, we ask your blessings and anointing upon the reading of Scripture. We ask, God, this evening that you fill us with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us thy Word. Help us to learn from this great man and even from his mistakes that we find in the Scriptures. Lord, help us to learn. Help us to walk close to thee, Lord, and not compromise. Be faithful to the truths that you've given to us. Thank you now this evening for who that you are, Lord, and for what you've accomplished, which in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You can probably divide this chapter up into three divisions. The first six verses of this chapter is basically dealing with David's confession. Verses 7 through 12 is dealing with his cleansing. And as we come to the latter part of this chapter, verses 13 through 19, we find David's gratitude. We find him with his desire to teach others also the truths and the things that he has learned. Now let's begin here in verse 1. He said in verse 1, he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Now, we may take a few other verses, but basically I'm going to read through this tonight, make some comments on it. But I want you to notice that, again, this chapter will, if you're taking notes tonight, you can write down chapter 32 and chapter 38, and we may turn there just for a few verses. But again, David, here in this chapter is talking about the time that he had committed sin. He had, committed adultery. He had committed murder, and he had kept these things a secret. And of course, you can't keep anything from God, as we see in this particular chapter. And we find that David here is bringing his petitions before God. He's seeking the will of God. And the other two chapters describe the things that happened to David while, we're going to say, maybe close to a year that he had not confessed this before God. And it describes the things that happened to him emotionally and physically. I mean, this man looks as if he got some kind of a disease, and he looked like he was ready to die. But as we come here in this chapter, we see the issue of cleansing. He said in verse 1, he's asking the Lord to blot out, wipe out, to utterly take away this sin. In verse 2, notice this, he says in verse 2, he said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from sin." As we come to the Bible, we find here that David purity as well as a pardon is desired by David. And it's desired by any or all who truly have a repentant heart. And the Bible talks about this cleansing in Isaiah 1:16 and 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 and many places in the Bible, Revelation 1:5, we know that we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He tells us if we'll confess our sins in 1 John that God is faithful to forgive them. Well, we find here that he says in verse 2, wash me. Notice from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. For, now here's the reason that he's asking. He said, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. I want you to notice that David, when the prophet Nathan confronted him and said, thou art the man, we find that David had been a miserable believer for about a year. And now he confesses his sin. He comes clean with God and all of those that are around him. And let me give you just one verse. There's so many in the Scriptures. And let me give you a very familiar one. In Proverbs chapter 28, many of you probably have this put to memory. But in Proverbs chapter 28, let me read just one verse out of this chapter. Again, you could go to Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, dealing with the issue of confession. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 9. But in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, he says, and he that confesses his sin, he that covereth his sin, rather, shall not prosper. David did not prosper as long as he hid his sin. We find that Adam and Eve in the garden, they tried to cover their sins. And we've all probably been guilty of this. And there is no there's no success. We're not going to prosper. We're not going to be right with the Lord and with others as long as we cover. So he said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now that's what David is asking for. He's asking the Lord for mercy. And so we find that those who cover their sins, there is no mercy. But those who confess and forsake their sins, he says that they will have mercy. Go back with me, please, to this passage. See, he's asking for God's tender mercies in verse 1. And we find that as we come to the Scriptures in many places, Ephesians 2, the Bible tells us in the first six verses, we're saved by His mercy. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, our regeneration is associated with God's mercy. But he said in verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. He said, is ever before me. I want you to notice in verse 4. He said in verse 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Now a lot of times we think we tell a lie. It's only against the person that we tell a lie against or tell a lie to. Or if we stole from somebody, well, it's just a sin against that individual. And that's not true. Because in this verse here, you know that when Paul, the man by the name of Saul, before he had gotten saved, and the Lord asked him, said, why persecutest thou me? Well, Paul had persecuted the saints of God, he was persecuting the Lord. Because they were his body, his church. And so I want you to notice that when we sin, even though we sin against man, it is ultimately against God. One quote by another man, he said, the virus of sin lies in its opposition to God. So we find here, said in verse 4, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. So, any sin that we sin, we won't understand that it is maybe against man, but at the same time, ultimately, it is against God Almighty. And David recognized that, and I'm sure the prophet pointed that out to David, but David knew the Lord. He loved the Lord. The Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. And so we find that as he speaks these words, he knew that his sin was against God. In verse 5, he said in verse 5, he said, behold, I was chafed in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The word chafed here has the idea of being formed or molded. And he's talking about from his birth. He's talking about being a son of Adam, of the fallen race. And the inbred sin, the depravity, the source of sin. So he says here in this passage, he says in verse 5, behold, I was chafed in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now you can you want to read in connection with this Romans 7 sometimes, the entire chapter, and especially verses 17 through 25. Now, you don't want to read that and justify sin. That's not what David's doing here. David's just admitting what he is by nature, as well as what he was by his deeds. He's saying, my heart is not what it ought to be. And that's what Romans, the Apostle Paul, after being saved, he talks about the sin that dwells in the individual. So David is crying out here, and he's saying in verse 5, he said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. And verse 6 is an allusion when he talks about the hidden part and the inward part. It's an allusion to the soul and the heart of man. And so he confesses that God loves pureness of heart. God wants the purity, integrity in the heart. He said in verse 7, you know, I preached to you, I guess, I don't know, a week, maybe it's last week, I'm not sure. But we went through several sins of the Corinthians. I guess that was a week and a half ago. I forget what I preached. But anyway, we went through that. And you know, a lot of times, if you were to ask the question, you say, what is the problem with the Corinthian church? We'd say, well, they had fornication in the church and adultery in chapter 5. But the Apostle Paul talks about sins of the flesh and sins of the spirit, does he not? So when you go and really read every chapter of Corinthians, the majority of their sins was not the flesh, but it was the spirit. It was sins of the spirit, you see. And so David is talking about here within himself of his heart being cleansed. He's saying, I want to be right with the Lord. And you're going to see that as we read these other verses here. He said in verse 7, he said, purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was a plant or a small shrub that was used in external cleansing in the Old Testament and is an emblem of internal cleansing. And we find that they took hyssop and during the Passover time and they used that with putting the blood there in Egypt upon the doorpost and door lintel. But here's the thing. He's saying in verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean, and wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. David, again, he's just simply declaring the fact of the position. He wants to be back where he was with God Almighty. As a backslider, he realized that it was not prosperous spiritually or physically or emotionally. When we read some of these other chapters, we find that not only was he emotionally destroyed and spiritually separated from God in that sense, but physically speaking, this man got sick. He says in verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. We find here in this passage that David had lost the joy of his salvation, as we're going to see in the next few verses. Lost that joy. Lost the joy of his salvation. And so we see the voice of forgiveness here, that bringing joy back into his life. He said in verse 8, he said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. God had dealt with him physically and emotionally. And then we find in verse 2, David is saying in this, he says, create. By the way, you don't hear these kind of prayers of King Saul. There's a different heart with David and Saul. David made some mistakes, and David had fallen and sinned and so forth. But the Bible said in Acts 13 that David was a man after God's own heart. See, he was a true believer. He made his mistakes, but he never quit on God. He loved God. He knew that he was a child of God. So he says in verse 11, or verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit with me. And again, I'm trying to stay with the text as much as possible. There's all kind of verses we could take off on the issue of revival and cleansing and the heart. And there's just verses from Genesis through Revelation. Wonderful passages. But David here, and the word renew here implies that he had once possessed. In other words, he had lost something. He did not lose his salvation. He was a child of God. But we see a backslider will groan in his heart after restoration. In other words, when a man is truly saved or a woman is truly saved and they make a mistake, they get out of the will of God, they will groan for that restoration. So he said in verse 10, he said, create in me a clean heart. The word create, a work of the Almighty God. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. There's a man in the Bible in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 14, 15, and 16 that he had sinned and rebelled against God. His name was Cain. And the Bible said that he went out from the presence of the Lord. The Lord just sent him out, put him out. And he went out from the presence of the Lord. You don't want to be away from the presence of the Lord. Now you can go to any country in this world and have the presence of God. You see? And the Will here will have the presence of God when he goes to Bolivia. And but you don't want to go anywhere. You don't even want to be in Codin tonight without the presence of God. Amen? Notice this, he says in verse 12 now. Well, verse 11 again. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, why the word presence there, Psalm, we're not going to turn to these, Psalm 16:11. We came through these verses already, Psalms 31:20 and Psalms 140 and verse 13. We have not got to that passage. But notice, let me just make a comment on this real quickly. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence. And then he says, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit, we are told, not only do we have the indwelling Holy Spirit today, but we're told that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit, you don't want it to be withdrawn from you. I'm not saying you can lose your salvation, but in the sense that the Holy Spirit gives us comfort today. It is the Holy Spirit that counsels with us today. It is the Holy Spirit that assists us. And even in the Old Testament, before Pentecost, before the Spirit came in a particular ministry and the way that it operates today, even in the Old Testament, we find that when they began building the tabernacle, that God, the Holy Spirit, came upon certain individuals and gave them the ability to do certain carpentry, certain type of craft, and so forth. In other words, it was the Holy Spirit that it enabled them. Well, David became king. Would you not agree with me that he needed the Holy Spirit to come upon him in order that he might be able to lead the nation of Israel as a king, as a ruler? He couldn't lead them without that, and he knows that. So he says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of whose salvation? What does it say? Thy salvation. Salvation is of God. And he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. So David had lost the joy of his salvation. We could say today, for instance, that we could say that David was not filled with the Spirit of God in this time that he was divided from the Lord and separated in that sense of the word. And so David is simply crying to God. He said, I want you to cleanse me, blot out my sins. I want you to fill me. I want you to restore unto me. Give me this joy that I once had with you. Then in verse 13, now here's the latter section of this chapter. The first part talked about confession. The second part talked about cleansing. Now I want you to notice the latter part of this chapter and notice what he says and how true that I've seen this in many people's lives. Notice in verse 13 the word then. He says, now in other words, if God will cleanse me, and he did. If God will restore me, and he did with David. Here's what he said he would do. He said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And he did. We're still reading his writings to this present time, a number of years later. And as we come and look at this in verse 13, you know, I've known many over the years that were saved out of some horrible things, and they spent the rest of their days serving the Lord. I know of some of those. We had four saved Monday night at the Mission of Hope, and I know of men right now that's went through those programs and their life really a wreck. And I know of some of them still to this day that came out of Mission Hope and the Waterfront that have spent the rest of their life doing what David did here. You see, I've seen them spend the rest of their life doing that. Some we know that's went through those that are living for God, and they said, we're going to turn this thing around. Now, Manasseh's tried that horrible center, and you know what he did when he came back to the throne? He tried to reverse. He tried to change that and do as much for the Lord as he could for the rest of his life. The only thing, he had done so much horrible things that some of it wasn't reversed among the nation of Israel. So he said in verse 13, he said, Lord, you do this. He said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And deliver me from blood guiltiness. And of course, you can write down 2 Samuel 11:17. He's basically talking about the blood of Uriah there that he had shed, the murder of Uriah. And the blood that cries for vengeance. We know that by many passages. And this is one of the reasons that most commentators believe that this chapter is written by David is because of this verse as well as some other verses. But he says here, talking about deliverance, and he says in this passage, he says, and thou, God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. So the writer is saying here, without any doubt in this passage, he's saying that he would sing if the Lord would pardon him and forgive him and use him and give him another chance. He's saying in this verse that he would sing. He would make some great noise unto the Lord. And I believe that he did. In verse 15, he said, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. And in other words, he's saying indications his mouth had been shut with shame and grief during this time. And I'm sure there's a lot of silence. But he's saying here in this passage, open my mouth. In verse 16 and verse 17, he said, For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. So now we know that God accepted animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, but God wouldn't accept them when the heart wasn't right. Even in Matthew 5, he said, you come, you got a fault with your brother. He said, lay your gift down and leave and go take care of that. Then come back and give the offering. Well, in these two verses here, David is simply saying that what I've done, God, I could kill all the animals I want. God's not going to accept that. And so he's basically, and you can read about this in Isaiah. Turn there with me. I think we read this a week or so ago. In the book of Isaiah, we'll go to chapter 1. In Isaiah in chapter 1, we'll read this passage. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 11, I challenge you to read the entire chapter because it's talking about how to be cleansed and getting back to God. But he said in verse 11, To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs and the he-goats. And he said, When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. And he goes on and he tells them what to do. He said, Your hands are filthy in verse 15. And he said, I'm not going to listen to you. And then he said in verse 16, Wash you and make you clean and put away evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. He said in verse 18, Come now. There's a song, by the way, I don't know if we've ever heard it, and it's a little short. Of course, of this verse right here, beautiful song. But he says, Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Well, this is David's story. His sins were cleansed. He was washed. Turning back with me, please, in verse 16 and 17 of this chapter. So external gifts, outward gifts, whatever they cost, no matter how expensive they were, God would not accept them because there was no repentance. And we found that in verse 17, he said, The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, and thou wilt not despise. The word broken and contrite are similar words, means pretty much the same thing. And both of these put together show the intensity of the expression that has the ideal of having a crushed heart.
That's right.
And so in verse 18, he prays not only for himself but for others. He said, "Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem." And then in verse 18, "Then shall thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness and with burnt offering and the whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." Let's close in Proverbs chapter 15. And Proverbs chapter 15. And beside verse 19, if you want two references, one is going to be Proverbs 15, verses 8 and 9 and verse 29. The other passage will be Malachi 3, verses 3, 4, and 5. Now, God is saying, "I will accept your sacrifices if your heart is right," as we close that. That's what He's saying in verse 19. And that's what He's saying. So if our hearts are right, God accepts our labor, accepts our offering. But if our hearts are not right, it don't matter how much, how costly our gifts are, God is not really that interested. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He says in chapter 15, verse 8, He says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but He loveth him that followeth after righteousness." So, you notice the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. But the prayer of the upright, as David was coming back to the Lord, God accepts. Notice verse 29. "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous." I wonder how many times David had prayed for things. For instance, like praying that the child would live and it did not live. I wonder how many times he had prayed for things and just was not getting through to the Lord until Nathan confronted him and said, "David, the Lord wants to speak to you. He wants you back to where you were." And so this is Psalms chapter 51 is a wonderful chapter. Now, I didn't turn to the other two Psalms, but I challenge you to go back this week. Read chapter 32. Goes into more details. It describes his confession. It describes his bodily, emotional problems that happened with him. Then Psalm chapter 38, I believe it's Psalms 38, carries it just a little bit farther than that and gives you a few more details. So those chapters together are great chapters to just simply describe what had taken place in David's life. And I do believe it's chapter 38. I don't know why I can't. I believe that's what it is. But anyway, we're going to stop right there.